Crimson and swollen, he said, his voice trembling, is my countenance from weeping. For deep bowed in my affliction, I sit me down to weep, and my face is wet with the tears that flow down it. The words, as one could tell, were not original with him, for Noah, according to the legend, was supposed to have said some such thing, and Jacob made it his own. And indeed it is good, it is convenient and consoling, that from the suffering of our ancestors we inherit right and suitable words in which to clothe our own, which then fit as though they were made for it, so that they give us ease in so far as words can give ease from pain, and unite our own sorrow with that which has been and will always be. Certainly Jacob could do his grief no greater honor than to set it on a level with the great flood, and apply to it words which were coined for that catastrophe. At all events, he spoke and lamented much in his despair, in words already coined, or only half coined. And over again came the wailing cry, Joseph is rent in pieces, which may easily have been already in existence, but lost nothing of its impressiveness by the fact. No, that they had, however much they may have been used before. The lamb and the mother ewe are slain, intoned Jacob. He rocked to and fro and wept most bitterly. First the mother, and now the lamb as well. The mother ewe hath forsaken the lamb, when it was only a furlong to the inn, and now the lamb too hath strayed and is lost. Ah, no! Ah, no! Ah, no! Woe, alas! It is too much! Wailing ariseth above the beloved sun, over the young shoot whose roots are torn out, over my hopes that are rooted up like to a sapling. Woe, alas, my Damu, my child! His dwelling is become the underworld. Bread will I not eat, water will I not drink. Joseph is rent in pieces. From time to time Eliezer wiped his master's face with a cloth wet in water. He also took part in the lamentations, in so far as they kept to the prescribed formulas, and paid honor to all that abides through change, by joining in the half-sung, half-murmured cry of, Woe, alas, or he is rent. Indeed, the whole courtyard resounded for hours. Jacob's people would have done the same, even though their mourning had been less sincere than it really was. Hoi achi, hoi adon, alas for our brother, woe alas for our lord. Jacob and Eliezer could hear the chorus from where they were, and the servants in their turn could hear the rejection, not quite literally meant, of food and drink, for that the herb was withered in the desert wind, and the sapling was torn out by the root. Customs are useful. The regulation of both our joy and our grief in prescribed channels, that they may not flow in every direction and end in excess and confusion, but keep to a settled bed ready to receive them. Jacob, too, felt the blessing and usefulness of conforming to tradition. But the grandson of Abraham was far too individual in nature. He had far too lively a sense of his own personality in relation to the general to be able to confine himself to formulas. He spoke and lamented in his own words as well, Eliezer attending and wiping his face from time to time, and throwing in a word of soothing confirmation or of correction and warning. What I have feared, Jacob broke out in a voice diminished, heightened in pitch, and sometimes half-choked by anguish, what I have feared is come upon me, and that which gave me concern is come to pass. Canst thou understand that, Eliezer? Canst thou grasp it? No, 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 no one can understand it, when that which one has feared actually cometh to pass. Had I had no concern nor thought, if it had burst upon me unsuspecting, then I would believe it. I would say unto my heart, Thou tookest no heed, hadst no care to avoid the evil by foreseeing it. A surprise is believable. But that which hath been foreboded cometh, and shrinketh not from coming, that is an abomination in mine eyes, and with it I come not to terms.
There is nothing hard and fast in these matters, responded Eliezer.
No, not before the law, but for man's feelings, which likewise have their reason and their limits. For why was fear given to men, and foresight, but that he might therewith conjure evil, and take away from fate betimes the power of thinking? It may be angry, but is also ashamed, and saith to itself, Are they still my thoughts? They are the thoughts of man. I like them no more. But what shall become of man, if forethought no longer avail, and he feareth in vain, that is, he feareth with reason? Or how shall a man live, if he can no longer rely on things turning out differently from what he thought?
God is free, Eliezer said. Jacob closed his lips. He took up again the potsherd he had dropped, and began again to scrape his symbolic sores. For the moment he did not continue the subject. He went on. How have I feared and anguished, lest a wild beast from the thicket one day fall upon my child and do him a harm, and cared not at all that I was a laughingstock among my people for my solicitude, nor minded when they said of me, Lo, how the old dotard playeth at being nurse, and was ridiculous like a man who saith always, I am ill unto death, yet looketh healthy, and doth not die, and nobody taketh it seriously, and in the end not he himself. But when they find him dead, and are remorseful that they laughed, and say, Lo, he had right in what he said, can it do the man any good that they are ashamed? No, for he is dead, and would rather have been a fool before them and before himself than to be justified in so unpalatable a way. Here I sit in the dust, my face red and swollen from weeping, and ashes and tears course down it. Can I rejoice in my tears because it hath come to pass? No, because it hath come to pass. Dead am I indeed, for dead is Joseph. Joseph is rent in pieces. Lo, Eliezer, take and see. The robe, the remnant of the picture garment. I lifted it from off the dearest and true bride in the bridal chamber, and I handed to her the blossom of my soul. But then it proved to be the unchosen one, through Laban's deceit, and my soul was outraged and intolerably torn for a long time, until the right one, in horrible pain, brought me the boy Dumuzi, my all. Now he, too, is rent and is slain, who was the delight of my eyes. Can that be explained? Is it acceptable? Is it acceptable, this demand? No, 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 no. I covet to live no more. I would my soul were bare space, and these bones given over to death.
Israel, sin not.
Ah, Eliezer, teach thou me to fear God, and to adore his overwhelming power. He hath himself royally paid for name and blessing and Esau's bitter tears. Paid mightily. He setteth the price according to his arbitrary will, and is moved by strange considerations. He hath not dealt with me after my knowledge of what is too much for me. He taketh what he judgeth I can pay, knowing better than I what my soul is able. Can I argue with him from like to like? I sit here in these ashes and scrape myself. What will he more? My lips speak. What the Lord doth is well done. Let him keep to my lips. What I think in my heart is my affair.
But he readeth likewise the heart.
That is not my fault.
He it was, and not I, who so arranged that he seeth also the heart. He would have done better to leave men a refuge before the overwhelming, that man might grumble a little against the unacceptable, and think his thoughts about the justice of things. His refuge was this heart, and his pleasant tent. Came he to visit, it was finely adorned, and swept with a broom, and the seat of honor was prepared for him. Now is nothing but ashes therein, mingled with tears, with filth and misery. Let him avoid my heart, let he not defile himself, but let him keep to my lips.
But yet thou shouldst not sin, Yakov ben Yitzchak.
Thresh not words, old man, they are but empty straw. Espouse my cause, and not God's, for he is overgreat, and laugheth at thy concern, while I am but a storehouse of wailing. Speak not to me from the outside in, but speak to me out of thy soul. Nothing else can I bear. Knowest thou, and hast understood, that Joseph is gone, and returneth not to me, never and nevermore? Only when thou thinkest thereon canst thou speak to me out of thy soul, and thresh no empty straw. Out of my own mouth I laid upon him the journey, and said, Go toward Shechem, and bow before thy brethren, that they may come home, and Israel not stand here like a tree without its boughs. This task laid I upon him, and upon me, chastening us both somewhat rudely, for he should travel alone without a servant. I recognized his folly for my folly, and concealed not from myself what God would. But God dissembled from me what he knew, for he inspired me to command the child, Go hither, and hid himself away from me with his knowledge and his savage design. Such is the faith of the Almighty God, and thus repayeth he the truth with truth.